at the recording of the shiur this morning, and in keeping with the theme, we're going to talk a little bit about between Mincha Maariv these days during this month about the different elements of tefillah, both from a pshat and understanding, a machshava standpoint, as well as a halacha standpoint. One of the areas that we did not cover in the shiur this morning, so we dealt with priorities and tefillah and choosing a location to daven, was the matter of kavana. The matter of intent. Where do we know the idea? What's the idea of kavana, having intent by tefillah? So the Gemara in Erevin, the Gemara in Pesachim, Rosh Hashanah and elsewhere features a famous machlokas. Machlokas is, do mitzvos need kavana? Do mitzvos in general, when I perform any mitzvah, does that require intent? Or can I do so simply just by performing the act without putting in any intent, without putting in any kavana? So that's the question. And then, based on that, the Rishonim developed the idea of whether tefillah, prayer, requires kavanah. Is prayer just like another mitzvah? Perhaps it's different. So if you look at the Rabbeinu Yonah writes that in the end of the first chapter of Brachos, that even if mitzvos do not need intent, that even if we don't have to have kavanah, let's say when we blow a shofar and we shake a lulav, we still would require, perhaps still require intent by tefillah. Rabbeinu Haigon, who he cites, explains that one of the reasons behind this difference, that tefillah requires kavanah, but mitzvahs in general do not require kavanah, is very simple. That when you perform a ma'aseh, when you perform an action-based mitzvah, so I'm holding a lulav, the ma'aseh is the mitzvah. The action, the movement, the hands, what I'm doing during that mitzvah is itself the performance of fulfillment of the mitzvah. However, when the entire mitzvah is subjugated, is put into the realm of the thought, of the inner dimension, I don't have to do any action. By moving the lips, you might say is an action if I move the lips, but that's something we learn from Chana. Mikra Adin, tefillah is not necessarily movement of lips. One is Yosi, if you don't move your lips, though you should. But the idea is that tefillah is all an internal process. And so Rav Haigon explains that because it's not like taking a lulav, where it's an external process. The only way one could perform the masa ha-mitzvah, the element of the mitzvah, would be by having kavana, by having intent in your heart. And so there might be a chiluk, that even if you say mitzvahs do not need kavana, even if in general they don't require intent, still perhaps tefillah might. The Mechaber and the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Samech, Paskins that Yesh Omrim Shein Mitzvos Trichas Kavanah. He says there's one opinion says we don't need mitzvos kavanah by mitzvos, and these Yesh Omrim Shetzrichas Kavanah. Let's say Spasiya Osa Mitzvah, that to perform a particular mitzvah you do need kavanah, and that's the halacha. In the end, he paskins we should have kavanah by mitzvos, and so in general this question is tossed up. But even if you held like the other day, still tefillah might be of a higher level when it comes to the halacha of tefillah. So if you look in the Gemara says that the first pasuk of Shema Yisrael, Shema Lekin, Shema Echad, Ad Kan Tzrichas Kavanas Halev, Div Rabbi Meir, that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir, that when I recite the Shema, that's what I need Kavanah for. Just the saying of that line, Shema Yisrael, Shema Lekin, Shema Echad. Rava says, the halacha is like Rabbi Meir, the Rambam takes this and codifies this in his halacha, and he says that a person who says the Shema and doesn't have Kavanah in the first pasuk would be lo yotzi de chavaso, and would probably have to repeat that Shema as well, because you're not yotzi. So the Rambam paskins like this Gemara, that is the minimal requirement of kavanah when it comes to tefillah. That's the reason behind this. And if you look at the Mefarshim on the Rambam, the reason is because that first pasuk is where we accept upon ourselves kabbalas olmuch shamayim, we accept upon ourselves the yoke of heaven, the yoke of mitzvos, and that oneness with Hashem, and because of that, because it's happening in that moment, that requires kavanah, but nothing else. So on top of the requirement to say the first pasuk in the Shema with kavanah, so there might be another requirement when it comes to tefillah, when it comes to the Shemona Esrei. So if you take a look at the Gemara says, Mispalel tzorach sheyichaven es libo bechulon. One who davens has to have kavanah in everything. V'im eino yochel lechaven bechulon. If you can't have kavanah in all of it, so then, yichav and libo ba'achas, at least have one bracha, kavana, and Rabbi Chia tells us, Nimro Safra, that what is that one bracha that you have to have kavana for? That would be avos, the first bracha of Shemona Esrei. And The Rambam here codifies and says, one who didn't have kavana in all of the Shemona Esrei, he says, Mishis Pavel lo kiven es libo yachzer vizpal bekavana. But he says, if at least you had kavana in the first bracha, you don't have to go back. If you didn't have kavana in the first bracha, one would have to go back. The question that the Mefarshim on the Rambam struggled with is why he was so insistent on his first bracha. Some say because it's the first. It's the introduction to Shemona Esrei. And if you can't have kavana in the beginning, then ultimately you don't really have kavana. Others say, no, the first bracha, which is Avos, also actually is an essential bracha in terms of our relationship with Hashem, in terms of our emunah, and because it's sort of yesodistic, it's foundational, that's why one needs kavana for that first bracha, but other than that, you wouldn't have to. So then we get to the bottom line halacha, so the Ramah brings this down, Shulchan Aruch brings the halacha down that the Rambam codifies, Mispal Tzarech Shichav in Mechol HaBrachos, you have to kavana in all the brachos. If you don't, at least you have kavana in Avos. And if you don't have kavana in Avos, even if you had the kavana in the rest of Shemona Esrei, you have to go back and daven again. So that seems to be the halacha. Then the Ramah comes to the rescue of everyone today who doesn't have kavana. Da'idna bi'amenu, today, ein chozrin bishvil chisar and kavana. We don't go back, says the Ramah, if you don't have kavana, why not? Sha'af bechazara karov hu shelo yechavein in kein lama yachzer. Because imagine you finish Shemona Esrei and you realize, oh, I forgot to think about anything when I said the first bracha. My mind was just reading through the bracha, and I forgot to have kavana. So then you're going to go back now. So you start reading Shemona Esrei again. What happens? You get through up to Modim, you realize, I didn't have kavana then again. You're going to do it. It's almost vaday, says the Ramah, that you're not going to have kavana when you recite that bracha the first time, so there's no reason today to do it. This is not the optimal halacha. This Ramah is a recognition of the fact that there's sort of a yerida, there's a descent, there's a level of disconnect today that shouldn't exist. It's not optimal. Certainly on an optimal level, one has to have kavana for all of Shemona Esrei, for all of Shema, for all of Tefillah, not just like the rest of mitzvahs, but exceptionally, more than mitzvahs, because this is a mitzvah that is specifically done in the inner dimension of the heart, and therefore, if you don't have kavana, there really is nothing to the activity whatsoever.